baby by the half past three. She said it like, I know what you want with me. I said, money, honey.
He's our money, honey. No, he's not our money, honey. He's Doug Cioka. He's the CEO of Kavar Capital Partners. Kavar Capital Partners. My apologies, Doug. You guys run $400 million. In what fashion?
Out of Leawood, Kansas.
In Leawood, Kansas. And
speaking of fashion, yes.
And probably the lower fashion strategy in so much as we do the boring stuff. So we are long-only managers of fixed income investments, individual common stocks and bonds and mutual funds and ETFs. And we have a very quantitative wealth management approach.
We were talking briefly in the break about Kazakhstan. I'm not going to ask you about Kazakhstan, but I do want to sort of understand how that ripples out and affects your world. You know, we covered this morning, 27% decline right after they floated the currency. And what everybody was trying to figure out is, you know, obviously it's not a significant economy in the world, but is that a bellwether for other adjustments? When something like that happens, how does it affect your world? How do you pay attention to that?
No different, probably, Brendan, than how it affects anyone who manages institutional money or high net worth only money. Psychology is very delicate right now. And any additional blow to that delicacy frame adds questions as to the soundness of someone's strategy, whether they're really truly acquainted with the level of risk they're willing to accept for the returns that they anticipate and hope to achieve. So it isn't so much that the Kazakhstan currency floated, that the yuan has been manipulated in very strange and disparate ways in the last week and a half.
Yeah.
It's more that, is this globally intertwined financial market appropriate for how I'm going to allocate capital in the hopes of achieving risk-adjusted returns consistent with my objectives?
If what you do is long, where's a place of safety?
We actually think that, again, when you're in the midst of heightened levels of volatility, and contexting volatility by the true definition is actually very low in a historical context, but point-to-point intraday price movements, not unlike we're seeing today, yesterday, and some of the things that took place over the course of this entire month. We think there's a lot of opportunity when we take a deep breath and try to sidestep some of the daily inundation with what's going to happen with fixed income, what's the Fed going to do, where interest rates going to be, anecdotally from should I refinance my home, should I lease my car, should I be putting money into a fixed income portfolio, is the bond equivalent yield of a taxable portfolio going to be better than tax exempts? So the fixed income weighs heavily in our strategy. We think with the Fed being lower for longer, right, slow and low being their tempo, so to speak, we think there's still opportunity in fixed income investments. We think that because the market is completely possessed and obsessed with what's happening in the commodity market, there are a lot of areas that should be net beneficiaries that of the common stock and the fund and ETF variety will see drivers of value improve as we work our way through this commodity cycle. Right. If there's a good and a bad to every development, macro or microeconomically speaking, then a lower price of a commodity is going to be an effective tax cut to the consumer.
Doug, can you hang out with us? We're going to take a quick break here. We're going to get some more from you in just a minute. You are listening to the Bloomberg Advantage.
Doug Cioka is here as the CEO of Kavar Capital Partners based out of Leawood, Kansas. You know, we were just taking a tour of what you do when you want to stay long. I want to talk about currencies because that really is the story of the week. You know, the strong dollar favors smaller companies. That makes sense. That's a dynamic that we've talked about before. I'm curious about the weaker euro and the exporters because it would tend to make sense that would be a good export story. But where are they going to export to in this environment?
Right. You mean the European countries?
The European, yeah.
The economy that have that capability. I think that there's certainly still, whether it's a reduction for the IMF or the World Bank or the Fed or whomever independently, there's still growth, right? And albeit slow and albeit not near trend given the depths of the decline that we underwent, there are still going to be opportunities for stronger participants and players to consolidate and grow their capacity to distribute. And if you're in a structural decline like the European Union had been in coming out of the pig's debt crisis of 2007, 8, 9, to going back through the Greek paranoia and even a year and a half before with what had taken place in Cyprus, if we actually now have a hymnal from which they're all singing, an ECB that's committed to stimulate the currency, then hopefully the deeper pocketed players will consume more market share and elevate their cash flow. So there's still in spite of what we're seeing with the negativity that's surrounding emerging markets, and 3% of the Greece economy, for instance, is represented by exports to China. Well, that's 97% that's exporting elsewhere. And I'm certain, without knowing full well the numbers, any exportation to any of the other small emerging market countries is fractions of that percentage.
Yeah.
So we think, given the valuations that exist, which is critical, when we look at the opportunity to elevate cash flow, even if it's from a macroeconomic or should say monetary policy tailwind, there's still opportunity there.
But you're making a play based on the assumption that the European economy can figure out how to sell to itself. I would argue that they're not necessarily singing from the same hymn book. I would say they're all singing together. That's an exception. That's beautiful.
Right.
But the hymn books are different, and that there's a cacophony in there still. And the biggest problem right now, we talked to Rich Clarida this morning from PIMCO, and he said, we were talking about Germany, and he said Germany's biggest problem, you know, if I were king over there, what I would tell them to do is start selling to themselves, start buying things, figure out a way to get your consumers to buy something. So now you've got this hulk of a country right in the middle of that economy that refuses to buy things and still wants to export. So how does that rebalancing internally happen? So, you know, the smaller exporters like you talk about can start selling to each other.
Well, I think going back to beat the analogy of the hymnal to death, I mean, the tuning fork has been struck, right? And there's no question that the importance
of... We got our
this is good.
We got our tuning forks.
We're off of watches.
Let's commit to this.
Well, and I do think that...
Please, sing lesson, it, sister.
The lesson that Greece taught was terms by which sustainability of a quasi-vibrant economy with a reasonably sound future has to be coalesced around the strength of the term setter, which in this case is Germany.
Yeah.
And Germany's not China, so Germany can't dictate to the Germans, you can only buy stuff from us. But the market principles to which they're espousing should ultimately lead that to be a very logical decision. And the unfortunate thing, I think, Brendan, is the timing of it coming out of two consecutive and disparately influenced crises and economic calamities is going to be longer. And it's no different than what we've seen here in the United States.
Yeah.
Right? When our dollar's stronger and we say, well, we're going to import more, and that's bad for aggregate demand. So what's happening with these countries that are finally saying we're going to be market-based currencies because we're letting everything float freely, that's going to elongate our recovery, not unlike it's going to have the impact on Germany. It's still there, but everyone's time frame has gotten to be so white-knuckled that it's become cacophonous, unfortunately.
It really is a shame. You know, it's not a I take your point about Europe. It's not an economic crisis. It is a political crisis. You know, the economics are there for them to sell to each other.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, are we seeing the kind of performance in the U.S. with a strong dollar? Obviously, earnings for large exporters are really taking a hit. Are we seeing the kind of performance that you had talked about in the smaller companies?
Yes. It's interesting because here's a very telling statistic, because we embrace in this market active management with a value orientation, just given the direction of the passive strategies and the money that has flooded into them, which has expanded their valuations over the course of the last 18 months. The two segments of the market this year where passive is outperforming active, the only two, are small and mid-cap growth.
All right. Doug Cioka, CEO of Kavar Capital Partners, based in Leawood, Kansas. Thanks for coming in today. We appreciate that. I'm Corey Johnson. He's Brendan Greeley. This is the Bloomberg Advantage on Bloomberg Radio.